Are you looking for a new car? You might want to think twice. Shortages have pushed the average new car price more than $40,000. And some used cars are now selling for more than when they were new. What's a car buyer to do? And when will the madness end? We ask an expert. And a surprising treatment for diseases that might otherwise be incurable.
It's medical waste. And with medical waste, we can save lives.
Umbilical cord blood. Many parents don't think twice about it when their babies are born. But donated cord blood is giving a precious gift of life to many patients, including the son of another guest who will tell us his remarkable story.
So nice. It's probably one of our first outings in over a year.
And one more sign of summer. The Orange County Fair kicks off, bringing a welcome sense of normalcy with some precautions.
We do have the hand sanitizer. We do have the masks.
We'll let you know what's changed this year and show you what's still the same as Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Well, a lot of people put off buying a car during the pandemic, but should you buy one now? If you've been shopping for a car lately, you may already be aware the cost of vehicles is skyrocketing. So what's going on here? We reached out to someone who can help us understand, give us some ideas of maybe when to shop and when not to shop. Jillian Romero-Chavez is with the Ontario Auto Center. She's the president out there. And President Chavez, welcome. Glad to see you.
Thank you, Hal, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, what's going on here? I mean, these cars are, I hate to say through the roof, that's kind of a bad metaphor, but through the moonroof.
Through the moonroof, exactly. Well, Hal, unfortunately, we're facing the same situation as the housing market is currently facing, high demand and lack of supply. But I would love to give you the opportunity, or I would love to have the opportunity to share with you and your viewers a bit on why it all happened.
Yeah, why did it happen? I mean, let's try to understand that. Break it down for us. We hear a lot about rentals. We hear a lot about home buying, that the pandemic had an influence and an impact. So why don't you pick it up there?
Yeah, of course. At the beginning of the pandemic, car dealerships were in a very vulnerable position. The possibility of a big drop in car sales with customers choosing to stay safe at home, not traveling, not even commuting to their daily work. So we were just faced with a big imposition on what we're going to do with all these vehicles. Luckily for us, the manufacturers, our partners, did all they could do to support car dealerships. And in that, they slowed down the amount of inventory we were taking in during that pandemic time. Unfortunately, part of that was pausing their chip purchases for vehicles. No one was expecting such a high demand to return so soon after everything started opening up. And that's where we're left where we are today.
Well, you mentioned the word chips. This is kind of the problem, isn't it? The chips.
Yeah.
Tell us
the
about
chips.
That.
It's definitely the chip shortage. So again, when manufacturers were looking to slow down the inventory so that we weren't taking in so much inventory to have them just sitting on our lots during that time, they actually went to the chip manufacturers and paused those pieces. And during that time period, chip manufacturers had to divert their efforts and sell elsewhere, actually to the gaming supply industry and people going home. So with people going over to the chips and the chips no longer selling to the cars, the manufacturers are having to work back with the chip manufacturers to see if we can get that inventory flow coming back.
All right,
let
me ask you this. I mean, you know, you would think if the new cars are hard to buy because they're expensive, the chips aren't easy to get yet, why not buy a used car? And what we're finding out is used cars are, in some cases, more expensive than they were when they were new cars, right?
Yep. So demand is high. And unfortunately, people who are new car buyers are now switching to used because they do need a vehicle. So they're switching over to that used car inventory. On the flip side, this is a great time to sell your used vehicle, especially if it's under 100,000 miles. You'll get a really good price for it. So if you're in that position where you can kind of sell that car that's been in the garage or that second car that you're kind of not using, I would definitely recommend going to any dealership. Ontario Auto Center would be great, and we'll give you an offer on that vehicle right away.
Right, but then that begs the question, if you're going to give me a great deal on my used car, then I'm going to have to spend a whole lot of money on your new car.
Yeah, you know what? We're trying our best. The people who are needing their cars are going to be able to afford the cars that we have. The best advice I can give all the consumers is just to look at all the options. Don't marry yourself to one vehicle, one specific like leather, one specific color, and one specific manufacturer. That's why it's beneficial to go to places like Ontario Auto Center with 19 brands. Maybe you've been a certain driver your whole life and you come out, hey, I test drove this new vehicle and they have bigger demand, and go there. So you turn into a Hyundai or a Volvo driver this summer. Maybe it switches.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. We're talking about a time when things seem to be very, very high. Lots of things. Do you see a bright spot somewhere where maybe we start seeing these prices come down? Because as a consumer, I would tend to want to wait until the prices come down before I make that great deal.
Yeah, I do think that there will be a bright spot. Right now, it's really depending on the manufacturers and their negotiations with the chip manufacturers. Right now, our hope is Q1 will get some stabilization. But in the meantime, people who don't drive a lot, maybe 15,000 miles a year, consider leasing, consider another option. But at this time, this is just where we're at. There's a high demand. People need vehicles. I'm working with the Boys and Girls Club right now on trying to secure 2 passenger vans because their activities started opening up again and they need passenger vans. The new car demand on passenger vans is so high that the pre-order market is completely dominating that area. So I'm having to look for pre-owned.
Well,
you need a car.
Right. We only have about a minute left, but I really want to understand, you kind of alluded to the idea of the pandemic having an influence, but how did the pandemic actually affect these dealerships? Under a minute, please.
Yes, under a minute. So yeah, we all had to switch our processes in terms of what we're required to do by CDC to keep our customers safe, our team members safe, everything safe. We did divert to online sales specifically to make sure that we can get the vehicles to the customers, but there was just less traffic. No one's commuting. No one was needing a car during that time. And right now, another result of what happened out of the pandemic is service drive is completely busy because no one serviced their vehicle for that whole time period. Right. So we're just seeing the results and we're just trying to adjust where necessary.
The consequences and the unintended consequences, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Jillian Chavez, thanks for joining us. See you next time we're out in Ontario. And coming up on Fox 11 News In Depth, a medical therapy that's been used for decades is still something that most people aren't even aware of. Coming up next, we'll show you a different kind of blood bank that's saving lives. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. July is National Cord Blood Awareness Month. And if you're not aware of what that is, you're not alone. Turns out the umbilical cord blood from a newborn baby can have remarkable healing effects, or so we're told. Our next guest is one of those who's experienced this firsthand. Miguel Sancho is a journalist. He's also written a book called More Than You Can Handle. And it sounds, Miguel, like you've had to handle quite a bit. You want to tell us a little bit about your story?
Oh, I'd be happy to. And thanks again for having me, Hal. Yeah, we had an experience that tragically many families have, which is in 2012, we were blessed with the birth of a newborn child, a son. And we thought it was all going to be great, but very disruptively, he was diagnosed with a very serious, very lethal primary immune deficiency at about age 5 months, which completely upended our lives, as you can imagine. And what was most distressing about it was that this was a disease for which there really wasn't any known cure except one particular treatment, which was one of the most arduous and painful and lengthy medical procedures you can have, which is a stem cell transplant. And that set us on this search for a proper match for my son that ultimately ended up with us being lucky enough to find a cord blood match.
I think we're looking at some of your pictures there, and tell us what we're looking at here.
Right. So that particular photo was taken on June 16th, 2016, when we had gone to the Duke Pediatric Bone Marrow Transplant Unit in North Carolina, which is one of the nation's best places for cord blood transplant. They've done all sorts of pioneering work. And what you're seeing there is the day when about I think 800 million cells or so were infused into my son from a very generous donor who had given their child's cord blood years before. It had been cryogenically preserved at the Carolinas Cord Blood Bank, which is one of many that there are throughout the country. California has a wonderful one. And the donation procedure couldn't be any easier. You just sign a form, and the doctor takes the cord blood at the time of birth. And then the transplantation procedure, which you see there, is rather intense. But that particular day was a glorious day because that was the day that we knew that our son had a chance to live. And I'm very happy to say that he just turned 9 years old. And thanks to that donor and thanks to that great program, it's almost like he never had the disease ever.
That's good news. And that's good to hear. How did you find out about cord blood? And what does it actually do?
Sure. So I'll answer the back part of the question first. Basically, your immune system, which we're all familiar with now a little bit more because of COVID, is built on an entire kind of army of white blood cells that do various tasks. And in many primary immune deficiencies, some or many of those cells don't work. In my son's case, only one cell wasn't working, but it was enough to threaten his life, both the quality of his life and the quantity of his projected life going forward. So if you're going to cure a disease like that these days, essentially you have to do an immune system transplant. You have to get rid of the existing immune system, oftentimes with rather severe doses of chemotherapy, find a donor, infuse the patient with the new cells, and then grow a new immune system from scratch, which is a very arduous and risky process in and of itself.
That sounds extraordinary. That sounds extraordinary. Like there's just so much to do.
It is. It's, again, a very lengthy, very arduous process. But the amazing thing is that they've figured out how to do it. I mean, to the point that I can describe it simply. Obviously, the reality is much more complicated. But there are thousands and thousands of patients being helped by this kind of thing every day. And the number of diseases that cord blood can treat is growing. I mean, the most fascinating thing about cord blood might be the stuff we don't know yet. They're at Duke. They're in the process of experimenting with it being able to treat disease like cerebral palsy, perhaps even autism in some cases. So the possibilities are just amazing. And it really kind of changed our life, obviously having our son cured, but also learning about these wonders of medical science that are changing the world for the better every day.
I'm glad you mentioned cerebral palsy. Are there a couple of other things that this treats that we're not aware of?
Yeah, well, again, primarily it's, blood diseases. Leukemia is obviously a very tragic and lethal form of cancer with the white blood cells that transplantation addresses. All sorts of primary immune deficiencies, many diseases, nobody's ever heard of. We kind of fell into this community of rare disease families, which is its whole other world and was both illuminating and beautiful in many ways to see how families cope with this stuff. But the number of diseases that this could fix is growing as the immense potential of cord blood and cord blood transplantation is being studied further.
You alluded to a generous donor. And maybe what a lot of parents don't know is that when the baby is born, that umbilical cord blood could be donated. Can you talk about that for a sec?
Yeah. Well, I mean, compared to something like regular blood donation, this is even easier, right? You don't need an extra procedure. You don't need to go anywhere else. You're not going to be already. This happens the moment the child is born. Again, a doctor will simply just extract some cord blood from the placenta. This is essentially medical waste that our wonderful scientific community has learned to repurpose for these wonderful curative treatments. So the act of donation really couldn't cost any less in terms of time or money or effort or suffering. And the social benefits are just amazing.
So I assume this is all covered with insurance, or at least there's some impact by insurance.
Yeah. No. It's a donation of medical resource, and it's not an additional procedure that's going to cost a donor anything.
Got it. So donor doesn't pay, the patient gets help, and bottom line is it's all for the greater good. What's the bottom line? You got about 15, 20 seconds. Give us kind of the bottom line.
I just think, first of all, people should do this, clearly. It's very easy. And again, California has a wonderful program that's been run out of UC Davis for about 10 years now. In most major cities in California, it's available at the drop of a dime. And it's a cause you can feel good about in many ways, not just for doing a good thing, but for the wonderful world of treatments that is opening up before us as we enter a whole new era of medical technology and research.
All right, Miguel Sancho, thanks so much. The book, again, is called More Than You Can Handle. Sounds like you've done a good job of handling quite a bit. We appreciate your time. And coming up next on Fox 11 News and Death, it's back. The Orange County Fair in Costa Mesa has come galloping back after the pandemic. But if you want to ride the rides, pet baby animals, and eat all the fried foods, you better jump on it quick. We'll explain right after the break. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We've got some good news. After a COVID cancellation last year, the Orange County Fair is back in full swing. The LA County Fair had to switch its schedule to next May. But if you're dying to have some fun on the rides, chow down on deep-fried bacon or a turkey leg, and see some adorable animals, you're in luck. Just head on down to Costa Mesa, where the Orange County Fair is going on. Michelle Richards is the CEO down there. And, well, you've got a big smile on your face. You must be having a good time.
We're having a fabulous time. It's a beautiful day here today in Costa Mesa, and the fair is on. We couldn't be more thrilled.
What's new at the fair this year?
Well, we've always interesting new food, right? Our concessionaires always do a great job of bringing it for our guests. We've got some new food. We have some new rides. We have brand new baby piglets born just last night at Centennial Farm.
Oh, how cute. I got to ask you, I've covered this fair for decades. I've been there many, many times over the years doing stories. I have never heard of this fair selling out. And yet, a week ago on Saturday and Sunday, you shut it down. You sold out every ticket you had. How many people came in? Was that due to a lesser number that you allowed into the gate? And what's the impact of that? I mean, should people be thinking about their plans so they don't get shut out?
Oh, those are all great questions. So, yes, first time in our history that we sold every ticket available for Saturday and Sunday. And, yes, you're correct, Hal. We did put a limited number of tickets on sale, and we will continue to do that throughout the run of the fair. There are approximately 45,000 tickets per day available. And the reason that we did that is because that is part of our COVID health and safety plan. We want to make sure that our guests have a really, really great experience when they're here at the fair this year. And we wanted to provide plenty of elbow room for people. So there are a limited number of tickets to be sold every day. And those tickets are being sold online. So if you want to come to the OC Fair, go online and get your tickets before we sell out again.
What would be the normal number if in a non-COVID year that you would allow into the gate?
On a weekday, a Wednesday or Thursday, we would typically do somewhere between, 40 and 50,000 people per day. On the weekends, that could swell to between 75 and 85,000 per day. So you can see that 45,000 tickets sold is a real easy, time for everyone that comes to the fair.
Now, I have to ask you about COVID, because when you throw 45,000 people together in a place, although it's a very large piece of real estate, there is that possibility of transmission. So what are your worries about this? How do you deal with this? What do you tell people who are coming down who are a little concerned about this?
Well, first and foremost, we want the public to know that we have worked very closely and very diligently for the past year with the Orange County Healthcare Agency. We have a robust plan in place to make sure that when you come to the OC Fair, we have created a safe and healthy environment. So let me start with a certification that we received this year, which we're very, very proud of. So it's through the Global Biorisk Advisory Council. And this is a group that certifies venues like ours that have gone through rigorous preparations and rigorous training related to COVID and other health concerns. And so we were thrilled to receive the Star Facility Award. So that's first and foremost. Also, we've always put out plenty of hand washing stations and hand sanitizing stations, but we stepped that up this year as well. We're encouraging all of our vendors and concessionaires to go cashless, so to use touchless transactions, and they have delivered for that. And then our staff is all being trained as well. We also installed a brand new system for scanning our employees when they come in through the gate. So typically when you go to an event like ours, you go through a bag check and then scanning, you know, through a magnetometer, for example, and all of that requires touch. We have a new security system where you just walk through and it automatically scans everyone as they come through. So we don't have that bunching up at the gates that we used to.
I always enjoyed at these fairs the critters, the goats, the sheep, the little piggies. That's always been my thing. The stuff that clogs the arteries has always been a little bit of a concern with the bacon dripping lollipops or whatever. But what's the big bacon eating thing this year? And what's the big thing at the fair that people are talking the most about?
Yes. Well, with regard to the food, there are some new things. And obviously, all of the bacon-wrapped favorites are back. You know, chocolate-dipped bacon and bacon-wrapped turkey legs, bacon-wrapped corn dogs, et cetera. And of course, it's, you know, once in a while to go crazy and enjoy that kind of food is fine. We don't eat that way every day. This year, we've got a waffle cone with buffalo chicken and mac and cheese to enjoy, taco de tripa, so that's tripe tacos, and taco de lingua, tongue tacos for those who prefer that. We've got burgers dripping with cheese and dipped in flaming hot Cheetos.
And on that note, thanks so much, Michelle Richards. Appreciate it. Have a great time down there at the Orange County Fair. And yeah, we'll be right back with more Fox 11 News in Depth. Don't go away. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the How. You can get it wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehowpodcast.com. Well, that's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us as we go. Enjoy a quick ride across the Orange County Fair at night. Have a great week. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.